Especially because we have some new people here tonight, I do like to say that the Flagstaff Insight Meditation community, we are a community, and we're a welcoming community, which means that we don't expect you to be anything, okay? We don't expect you to be an experienced meditator, a Buddhist, we don't expect you to be a particular sexuality or background or, you know, anything. We're here to welcome you. And that includes in my talk tonight, and my talk tonight's a little bit different from usual, but in the talk tonight, we're not expecting you to believe anything. I'm not here to convince you of anything. We're trying on things. We're experimenting with different ideas in ourselves, with the idea that we're here together for, which is what makes us to a community, of ending suffering for ourselves and for others. I think that's the thing that unites us. And the way that we choose to do that and what we find in these teachings that may be useful really depends on you and how you embrace these in your own life, okay? So feel welcome. And I usually give this is a formal talk, I guess, but I usually give a more formal talk that sometimes uses Buddhist text. And tonight I decided I want to talk in a more personal way, kind of about something that is important in Buddhist, in the Buddhist path, and that is doubt, okay? Doubt is one of the hindrances that's talked about in the path, and it's talked about when they use a metaphor of when you're looking in a pond to be able to see your clear reflection, okay, to be able to see kind of what's true and what's at the bottom of the pond in kind of a in its purity, and to see yourself clearly as a reflection, the pond should be smooth, okay? And there are hindrances or mind states, if you want, that come up to cloud the water in one way or the other, like if it's white capping, okay? If there's anger, a lot of anger and aversion in your life, they talk about the pond as being white capping. And then it's hard to see who you really are because everything is seen through the vision of that reflection, which isn't clear, right? And the one that they use for doubt, okay, is that it's muddy, okay? You're in kind of the muck and the mud, and it's very hard to see with the mud what's true. And so doubt is something that comes up on the path, okay? You may doubt that this is a talk that's going to be useful to you, or that this is, you know, it comes up often as we sit. I don't know whether I should be here. Should I have gone on that retreat and I sat there with the aching legs all the time? And, you know, what did that really do? Those kinds of things. And so what I decided to do is pick the three questions in my own life, the three questions that have been the source of doubt for me. Okay, and try to address them and answer them here. Okay, so I'm hoping, because I do hear these when I teach a retreat, sometimes I hear questions like this, and I'm going to throw out these three. And also what I invite you to do is, if you're going to stay afterwards, we can deal with the ones that are most, you know, that are coming up for you, if these aren't the ones that hit you. So, and if these weren't doubts you had, and now they were doubts you had, I'm sorry, right? But there are things I think, you know, that I've thought about along the way. And, you know, one of the things involves this present moment, you know? Here we are, and we're all sitting, and we're all going to sit this whole night, you know, to try to just be with the present moment, right? You know, to just be in the present moment. And truthfully, it's come up for me a lot in my practice. What is so great about the present moment, you know? I mean, if you look at yourself right now, it's like, okay, you know, here I am in this little room and had a long day and I'm tired, and my legs are cramped and this lady is talking and I'm not sure, you know, where this is going. And, you know, why is that so great? Okay? And why do we keep trying to do that? What is the purpose of this, right? To be in the present moment. And I want to clarify something for you, at least that I clarified for myself, that is really useful for me. And this is that the things that are those things, my talking, this carpet, the temperature of the room, you know, all these things happening. This is now, in a way, but I would say that this is the content of now, okay? This is the stuff that now is made up of. That's not really the now we're talking about. That now, that stuff of the present moment, is a doorway into the now that we're talking about, the moment, you know? And because that stuff that's happening, like the temperature of the room, somebody I saw just cracked the door, right? Temperature isn't that great, right? So what am I trying to be with the temperature for, right? Well, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about something that goes through that doorway into something deeper. And that's really what you might say, the content of the moment is that temperature, is this rug, is my voice, is all the things happening, is what's going through your mind, your thoughts. That's part of the content of the moment. What else is there? Okay? What else could the now be? Well, it's the space in which the thoughts, the mind states, the feeling of the carpet, the reaction to the temperature, that all those things, it's the space in which all those things are occurring. Okay? The present moment, without all the commentary about that in the head, okay? Just this. And if we could do that, if what the doorway is if we could do that, let's say the temperature, without having a thought, this isn't okay, I got to change this, I got to move that, I've got to, you know, what is she saying? Do I understand everything? Okay? If we could just be with it without a lot of commentary on our head, it can take us deeper into the space in which all this is occurring. Okay? And for a moment, okay, could you go there right now? Okay? Could you go there right now and look at the things that are happening in the room, the sound of my voice, the content that's happening? Can we look at that as something happening within the space of awareness? And is it possible to locate in yourself that space of awareness in which you're hearing my voice, okay? In which my voice is occurring, in which all these thoughts are occurring, okay? It's not an easy place to find sometimes, but really it is, okay? If you let the thoughts and the discourse go, and when you do that, it has a quieting effect, okay? A quieting effect, an invitation to the quietness, to the silence inside, right? Can you feel that a little bit? Should do that? Sometimes I like to do it with the hands because I can feel it more with the hands. So. You may look at your hands, notice your hands, okay? Okay? And then just take a step into the noticing of your hands, a step kind of going down into that. Can you feel your inner hand? Can you feel, if we're just sitting here, maybe a little inner vibration, maybe a little, maybe you feel some temperature, a warmth or a coolness, a vibration, a movement within your hands, okay? And can you go down a little further to the place that notices the movement and the vibration and the temperature within your inner hand, the place that notices it. And you may see that that's the same place that notices my voice or notices anything. And even as you open your eyes, if you can maintain a little bit of attention there, okay? A little bit of attention, maybe in the movement of your hands, in the inner movement of your hands, or that inner temperature, even as you're listening to my voice. You see how the energy shifts a little, okay? You're more in a place of knowing, okay? Knowing my voice, knowing that movement in my hand, okay? That place of knowing is really more what we're talking about for me. One of the things that I have discovered on this for myself is that place of knowing has more of that sense of peace than all the little content, okay, that's happening on here. And if I can be in both places at once in a way, if I can see, feel that while I'm hearing the voice, if I can feel that while I feel the floor, or maybe even while I feel my feeling a little too warm, noticing it, okay? That place gives me a sense of equanimity, peace, stillness. There's different words that you might use, okay? I don't really want to dwell too much on what you find there. You know, I've used some words because then you grasp a little for those things, right? But I do want you to believe, and I know if you're experienced meditators, you already do believe this, that there is a realm for deeper exploration that is in that seat of awareness, okay? That's in that seat of awareness that we can return to. And if we begin to understand the present moment, not only as that noise, okay, but as that which knows the noise, okay, that opens up a new doorway for us, okay? And that's the first important thing I want to say, okay, for myself. So, two, I better do these quickly because we're running out of time. Well, so here's my second doubt, okay, my second question. So maybe people got enlightened in the Buddhist time, but where are all the enlightened Buddhists now? Do I really have to wait 20 or 30 or 40 years for the slim chance that I'm going to get enlightened? I mean, am I really going to do this like that? Okay. So that's my second question, okay, that kind of bothered me about Buddhism or about this practice. And I want to answer it in the way that I've answered it for myself, which is no, okay? I don't have to wait, okay? But if we're holding on to this idea of enlightenment, you know, that this is some state we're going to reach, then part of the problem is that perception, okay, that we're going to reach that state. And I'd like to think of it, enlightenment that we have right now, as really a moment of enlightenment. We can all have a moment of enlightenment right now, rather than a state or a fixed place of enlightenment, okay? And that the moments of enlightenment are something that I understand in my practice. I get that, okay? So Thich Nhat Hanh, I was just reading something from him, and he was talking about the beauty and peace of the moment. And he was talking to somebody who just had 3 months to live. Okay. And he said to her, okay, let's have a cup of tea. Okay. Let's have a cup of tea. He's concerned with the importance of our consciousness right now. That's where we can have enlightenment, right now, okay? The state of our consciousness right now, to be in peace, in beauty, in I don't need anything else, let's have that cup of tea together, okay? An enlightened moment. And I saw the same thing, I don't know if you saw 60 Minutes last night, okay? There was, they were doing this thing, it was on psilocybin, it was on a little bit of things with drugs, but the people come to the same things they come to in Buddhism, in a way, you know? It's a woman with brain cancer who has very little time to live. And she went through this experience where she re-saw herself. Okay, she re-saw the situation. Now she did it through other means, right? And you should have seen what she looked like. She was radiant, okay? She was fine, she was radiant, okay? Why? Because she kind of got the same thing that we can get. There's only now, okay? And she, instead of feeling, oh, I only have, look at all these people that have their lifetime to live, and I only have this moment. We only all have this moment, right? She had the same moment right now for the cup of tea that anyone has, okay? And we all have that, okay? So whether you think, you know, I mean, think we're gonna die in, you know, it depends on who you are. In 50 years, you know? In 60 years, in 20 years, in some people, in 5 years, in 1 year, in 1 day, what's the difference? Okay? What's the difference unless you're projecting about tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow? If you can be right now, okay, there's no problem. Even if you're going to die tomorrow, there's no problem right now. Have your cup of tea, okay? Enjoy your cup of tea. Because what is the important thing in this? What is the important thing that's really the question of what makes us happy, okay? What's the important thing? It's your state of consciousness right now. That's all you'll ever have, is your state of consciousness right now. So protect that, okay? If you want to be enlightened, your state of consciousness right now. Can you touch something right now that has joy in it, that has peace in it, that has acceptance, even if you don't like the temperature in the room? Can you be in a state of acceptance right now? Okay? Enlightenment, happiness, openness to the moment right now. Okay? Okay, a quick third one, all right? And also, progress on the path, I want to say something about that. It's also not the content. It's not, am I manifesting all the things that I want in life? You know, I still get anxious. I still get upset with my mother. Does that mean I'm not making progress? No, that's not what to look at. That's the content stuff, okay? Are there shorter periods of being lost, okay, in thought or in drama? Can you notice now when you're caught and when you're not caught? Okay. And that last thing that I was talking about, can you believe that what's most important for your attention at any time is your state of consciousness, not the content of the situation? It's the state of consciousness that you have in it, not the content of the situation. So when that next email comes, okay, try to remember that. It's the state of consciousness that's really your life, not the content of that email. Okay? It's a really different way. It's a really different turn that will give you a lot more freedom. And so, briefly, the last question. Won't all this talk about acceptance, though, stop my interest in doing things? Won't I get complacent? I'm not going to end up doing social action if I think everything is fine and accepting everything, okay? I'm not going to do this stuff in the world that I think is important to do. And if I accept everything, why do I ever need to change my job? Why do I ever need to change my marriage? Okay? That might be a problem. Okay? Do you ever think that? Sometimes I have thought that. Okay? Is this... And think of where this perspective comes from. Okay? Where would it come from that I think I would never change my marriage if it was problematic, okay? Because I'm accepting. Or I never go march because I'm just not that upset. Okay? I'm not that upset. So why would I go march? Think of what it looks like, how we do things, and it's kind of true. Why am I doing things? Why am I leaving the marriage? Why am I marching in the street? Because I'm upset, okay? Look at what that sets up. That when I do things from a state of reactivity, right? When I really want it, like from a state of ambition, I want stuff, from a state of I hate things or I'm angry, I don't want things. Isn't there another way to have action other than that I'm so angry or I'm so greedy, you know, for something or so desirous of something? If those are the two states, that means, just like the Buddha says, yeah, a lot of things come from in our daily life from greed and delusion and hatred, you know? What if it didn't? Okay? can I still do all that stuff without the reactivity? And this can be a really great step in our lives in general, that the decisions or actions come from skillful intention, okay, rather than anger, hate, aversion, or that even personal decisions in life, career, and things like that, come from a deeper intention than ambition or recognition or compensation. Okay? That usually is the setup for us. Okay? What if it could come from a different place? And so I'm saying that with this, I think one of the things I've learned is another place from which decisions can come, including the decision to march. It doesn't have to come from anger. It doesn't have to come from rejection of something. It doesn't have to come from that. And that's something that we can play with in our lives. We're sitting here feeling this. Can action come from a place of intention, of peace, of right intention, you know? And it's a different way to enlist ourselves in doing in the world that neither comes from reactivity or from, like, thought-based stuff. So the mental quiet I look at that we get from sitting on the cushion, actually, if we can enlist it, okay, if we can really look at it in terms of our decisions and our life, and it's not just separate, something we do aside from our life, it can really become the basis for our careers, for the way that we act politically, between all of that, and can come out of a different place than, you know, ambition or anger. Okay? Okay, that's it. All right.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.